Well, welcome in for a very special edition of the Playing Through podcast. I'm TJ Reeves. We get ready for the final round of the 2017 Masters, the 81st playing of this championship from Augusta National Golf Club. And I want to revisit a special conversation that I had with Larry Mize, the 1987 Masters champion, an Augusta native who hit one of the most famous shots in the history of this tournament in sudden death, a chip in to win the green jacket, as he did so now 30 years ago, the 30th anniversary of that great moment, as Mize defeated Greg Norman in a sudden death playoff. Few remember that actually Seve Ballesteros was also involved in that playoff, but most famously, most historically, Mize with a sand wedge next to the 11th hole, the second hole of sudden death, made history. A magical, miracle moment for a guy, again, that lives in that area and loves to now come back every year and play in that event. So let's go back to a conversation that I had recently with Larry Mize about that moment, about the moment in which he won the green jacket, golf immortality for Larry Mize. I began by asking him about the final round. He wasn't leading going into the final round. He was looking to come from behind in the final round while Ballesteros and Greg Norman were dueling. And so I asked Larry Mize as we began in this part of the conversation, at what point did you realize you had a chance to maybe win the 1987 Masters?
No, I wasn't constantly looking at it. I mean, after I teed off 14, there's no scoreboard until you get to 15 green. So I kind of knew how I stood, and you kind of know what's going on, and you really kind of know what to do. You don't need to see a scoreboard every hole, I don't think. You do want to see it every couple of holes, and I definitely looked at it on 15. After I made the bogey at 15, I looked at the scoreboard and saw that I was only one back, and that really was a good feeling to realize, you know, I had three holes left, and I still had a chance. And So I watch scoreboards, but I don't hawk them too much because I feel like I need to be focused on my game, what I need to do. And, you know, you're trying to play well and make birdies anyway, so in some ways it doesn't matter what the scoreboard's doing. But you do need to look at it to know where you are.
Tell me about your finishing holes and how you got into the clubhouse to wait and see what was going to happen.
Well, you know, I wanted to try and birdie the last three holes, and I was not successful on 16 and 17, but I hit a good 3-wood off of 18 and a 9-iron up there about 5 or 6 feet and knocked that putt in the hole, which was just a tremendous, you know, birdie for me, to birdie the last hole to give me a chance. I knew I had to birdie it to have a chance, and that got me tied for the lead. And then they took me over to the Jones cabin by the 10th tee to wait for the last few groups. Seve was behind me, and then Greg was behind him, and then Roger and Ben were in the last group, and waited for them to come in, and nobody got better than three, so I went back out to the putting green to get ready for the playoff.
Okay, so when you're standing over the five-footer, standing at Augusta, knowing I need this, recollect for us, what's going through your mind? How are you controlling the nerves, the butterflies, whatever? Did you just block all of it out and try to say this is just a typical five-footer like I'm on the practice green? How did it work?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I know I was very nervous.
You knew you needed it, though, right, to tie for the lead. You knew that at that moment.
I knew I needed it, and it was kind of a right-edge putt, and I just wanted to try and hit a good putt and give it the best effort I had. But I can't remember the specifics, but I know one thing. I was a happy camper when that thing rolled in the hole. I know that much.
Oh, it wasn't as happy as what was about to happen, and that's why we love talking about Larry Mize, about this story. About how long was the wait? Because you mentioned several groups had to come in. It had to seem like an eternity, Larry.
You know, I can't recall that either, but, you know, it had to be around a solid 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. Yeah, and it is interesting because I didn't go to the range and hit any balls. I just went in there and came back out and hit some putts once I knew there was a playoff. So there was it was probably 30 to 40 minutes.
All right, so Seve Ballesteros and Greg Norman are in the playoff with you. You played the 10th hole as the first sudden death hole, and you and Greg advanced. Seve did not advance from that moment. Just take me through when the first hole was going on. Was it, again, nerves? What's going through your mind when you're playing sudden death with the Masters on the line?
Well, there's no question. I mean, you're nervous, but the positive thing was I played well all week. The birdie at 18 gave me a lot of confidence, so there was a lot of confidence in with those nerves, and that's a good place to be. So I really felt pretty good, and I felt like these guys, you know, great as they are, they hadn't beaten me for 72 holes, and I still had to believe I could beat them in the playoff. And so I went in with that attitude, and you know, once Seve bogeyed a 10, which obviously none of us expected, at least it would, chances, odds got a little better. Now only had one great player to beat, and we went on to 11, and, you know, it turned out really well.
At that point, and I love this, are you making eye contact at all with Greg Norman? Are you trying not to look at each other because you both know what's at stake? What was that part like when it was just you and him left on the 11th hole?
Yeah, there's not a lot of eye contact. I mean, we're both focused on our job and doing what we need to do. And, you know, I'm walking down the fairway getting prepared to hit my second shot. So there's not much eye contact at all in those circumstances, yeah.
All right, so you hit it just right of the 11th green, and Greg Norman ends up putting his ball on the green, and this is the moment everybody's been waiting for. You step up and had some 140 feet to the hole, and there was also danger that if that ball continued to slide, it would slide towards the water on the left side of the green. Again, as much as you can recollect, take me back to the moment, what you were thinking before the shot, the famous shot that you hit.
Well, you know, one of the greatest things about the shot was that there was only one shot I could play. You know, in golf, the worst thing you can be is indecisive. So I had to use the sand wedge because anything with more loft would have been too hot coming in there. And I had to land it short of the green because if it landed on the green, it would go too far by. So I had to play the ball back in my stance and do a bump and run shot with the sand wedge. And picked out the spot. I knew the break, and I just told myself, hit a good aggressive shot and put the ball around the hole and put some pressure back on Greg. And, you know, I really don't think I was worried too much about the water because this is do or die. I had to get it around the hole. If I leave it way short or hit a bad shot, it's not looking too good. So I hit the spot I was looking for, and, you know, it looked really good, but obviously wasn't expecting it to go in. When it went in, I went up running around screaming like a madman, just totally elated. Could not believe it. So it
was, I would say, are you out of your body at that point looking at yourself? You're just out of your mind? You don't even know what you're doing running around, I would bet, on something like that.
Out of my mind is a good thing because I was yelling, and I finally said, ooh, you're yelling. Be quiet. Don't be screaming out here. Because, I mean, I was just screaming with excitement. It was incredible.
All right, so that goes in, and what a lot of people don't remember is Greg Norman still had a birdie putt after that, and I know, as you just said, you caught yourself for a second, and then you even tried to calm everybody down and say, hey, out of courtesy and sportsmanship here, calm down. He could still make his putt, and we still may be going here, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you've got to give the other player his chance, and you have to expect him to make it. I mean, anytime in golf, you've got to expect the worst to happen, so... You know, if you think he's not going to make it and he makes it, well, that really knocks you down. So I was preparing to go to the 12th hole and expecting him to make it and just trying to be ready to keep playing. And, you know, he didn't make it. And then I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. It was incredible.
What's the immediate thought when his putt doesn't go in and you've won? When did it dawn on you? What'd you think?
You know, I'm not sure. I think one of the things I thought about is, man, I get to come back here every April. You know, to be able to come back every April is a great thing, and that was you know, very, very excited. And, you know, I was just elated. I was very thankful. It was just a tremendous win for me.
Who's the first person that you had to see, find, hug, talk to, whatever, after it was officially over there on the 11th?
What I remember is my wife, and she had our only child at the time, our oldest son, who was a week away from being a year. So I saw the two of them first and gave him a hug and kiss. And poor David was crying from all the noise. He didn't know what was going on. So it was she was the first one I saw.
What a moment for Larry Mize, who's been most gracious with us. We're going to spend a couple of more minutes with him here. All right, so you have won the Masters there on one of the famous holeouts. A question I've always wanted to ask of you, at what point did you go back and try to replicate that shot, and how do you do? Or how many times have you gone back and tried to replicate that shot on the 11th and chip it towards the hole, if not in the hole?
Well, I think I made one of the best decisions I've ever made. I have not gone back and will not go back. It is still a pure memory. The last time I was on that spot, I chipped it in. So whenever I see the shot on TV, that's it. That's the last time. They wanted me to replicate it, and I thought, you know, it's a lose-lose situation. I didn't go back, and when people ask about it, I point, it's over there. I don't consciously go there. I just I want to keep it a pure memory, and it's been a great decision because it's been fun to look back, and I made it when I needed to, and I've left it alone from there.
Okay, and another fun one. How often, and we're obviously asking you about it here because it's Masters Week, how often do you get asked still about that shot in your daily life, wherever you go, when they find out who you are? Is it every day? Is it a couple times a week? Are they still asking all the time?
Yeah, they still do, but it's not every day. I mean, you know, I think when I'm, you know, playing in, on the golf course, when I'm in pro-ams and at tournaments, I think I get asked it, you know, a few times during the week. But in my daily life, I don't. It's not that often. So, but you know, when they do bring it up, it's like you said earlier, it's not a bad subject for me to talk about. It's okay.
And Larry Mize, by the way, after that 87 win, has a couple of top tens, including in 1994 when you finished third at the Masters. So you've had some success after that. What is this week like for you, coming back to Augusta, still playing competitively and professionally on both the Champions Tour and the PGA Tours? What is this week like?
Well, it's just exciting. I mean, it is just it's fun to be back here. And you know, I'm still preparing to try and, you know, have a great week this week. And but it is just great to be back. My parents live here. I stay with them. My family's with me, and it's just it's a tough week. I will say that it is a tough week. It's a very tough golf course. It's a long golf course for me now, but it is it's just a fun week that I just love coming here.
A special moment in 1987 when Larry Mize chipped in sudden death to defeat Greg Norman and win the Masters. Larry, thanks so much for sharing with us. It was our pleasure, all right?
Well, TJ, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
What a great conversation. 30 years ago now, that historic moment. You'll probably see the highlights in and around the Sunday coverage of the Masters and the aftermath. It's one of the great moments ever. You can revisit it on YouTube and through the internet. And Larry Mize just talked about it with us on the Playing Through podcast. A footnote, Mize is now 58 years of age, has played the Masters every year since 1987. Obviously, you get to come back as the champion. And he made the cut in 2017 and got to play the weekend. Had to be extra special for him on the 30th anniversary as well. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the Playing Through podcast. Are we in for a dramatic, crazy moment, maybe in sudden death? Who knows? But we got to relive one with Larry Mize from 1987, and you heard it right here as part of the Playing Through podcast from FanRag Sports and FanRagSports.com's coverage of golf.